Public policy plays a role at this stage as well by providing seed funding for the early solutions. Most of these are carried out on a small pilot scale. These pilot projects are proving grounds for what must come later at a national and global scale. Non-governmental organizations and policy activists may also play a critical role. Philanthropists may support these early startups. Public service organizations, such as Rotary International, Doctors Without Borders, or CARE International, can begin implementation. As time progresses, three things come into sharper view. First, the problem itself becomes much clearer. Perhaps a public disaster, for example, Hurricane Katrina, becomes a moment of public epiphany. Second, the failure of the early steps or market forces alone becomes widely evident. This leads to growing calls for stronger public actions. Third, field trials and pilot projects give much stronger guidance on what can work at a large scale. The next step is a global agreement for real action, rather than a mere framework for recognizing the problem. This tipping point has arrived at various historical moments with ozone depletion, HIV/AIDS control, malaria control, and the fight against extreme poverty. At this point, a global treaty or protocol is agreed on, and a funding mechanism is put in place to take solutions to scale. Innovative economic frameworks, a new global fund, an international permit system, or a new global standard are adopted to guide the actions of governments and the private sector. Then comes the scale-up, the time when solutions proven at the pilot scale are brought to the global scale. Ozone depletion is controlled by a large-scale substitution of safe chemicals for the ozone-depleting CFCs. HIV/AIDS treatment is taken to millions in the developing world. Anti-malarial efforts are financed on a large scale by the Global Fund to fight AIDS, tuberculosis, and malaria. National population control policies are backed by large-scale international funding. Ideally, the global scaling up, which will last years or decades, is guided by a high-profile and transparent process in which clear goals are established and all stakeholders are judged according to their contribution to the global solutions. Success is achieved by constant feedback as actions and results are compared with targets and timelines. Without clear goals and accountability, the global stamina and cooperation needed to achieve the goals will surely fall short. While humanity currently seems a bit adrift and is gripped much more by what divides us than what unites us, we should remember that the five Millennium Promises provide a unique and vital compass for steering global cooperation. The three Rio Treaties, the Plan of Action on Population and Development, and the Millennium Development Goals all contain targets, timelines, and even formal treaty processes required to make headway. The Millennium Development Goals are vital, just to take one example, precisely because they set timelines and quantitative targets, such as reducing maternal mortality by three-fourths by 2015 compared with 1990. If the statement was merely that we should reduce maternal mortality, there would be little practical benefit in such an affirmation. It is the specificity and quantification of the goals that gave them traction. Experts can monitor progress. Activists can gain traction in fighting inaction and high-handedness of policymakers. And communities can set benchmarks and plan actions accordingly. Reinventing global cooperation. Global processes have taken us halfway toward the goal of sustainable development. The world has achieved marked success, backed by remarkable global cooperation, in the fight against environmental degradation, population increases, and extreme poverty. Yet our combined efforts, great as they have been, have fallen far short of what is needed. The world is far off course from achieving the Millennium Promises, and far off track in securing sustainable development for the planet. At the core of our problems today is the collapse of faith in global problem-solving, and a widespread cynical disbelief in global cooperation itself. Opinion leaders dismiss global objectives such as the Millennium Development Goals or the mitigation of greenhouse gas emissions as unrealistic or even utopian. This pessimism is in part the result of the changes in global politics from a time after World War II, when the United States took the lead in providing many global public goods, to today, when a surly and fearful United States during the Bush administration has championed the ideology of unilateralism and narrow self-interest. The achievement of global goals can no longer depend on U.S. leadership alone, but requires robust global cooperation. That cooperation depends on an active network of governments, international organizations, the private sector, and academic and non-governmental organizations. We need, therefore, to reinvent global cooperation in a manner that recognizes certain key requirements. Clear goals and timetables, as contained in the Millennium Promises. The need for public financing to be shared among the developed countries and a broadening network of middle-income countries. The need for global participation in global problem-solving by developed and developing countries alike, rather than by an exclusive group of countries such as the G8. The need to mobilize the private and not-for-profit sectors as partners in the global effort. The need to harness expert scientific and technical knowledge at every juncture. The need to support innovation at each stage, from startup to scale-up.